We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Season 2, The Biblical Easter Eggs of the Screwtape Letters. And Galen, we're on letter 11. It's been quite a journey through the first 10 already, and there's just some great things come to light as you dig in deeper to these letters.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny with this letter, too, it ties hand in hand with letter 10, because a lot of it's about the company that this man is keeping. If you remember in our last episode, we talked about, you know, bad company corrupts, show me your friends, I'll show you your future type of thing. And chapter 11, letter number 11 here, takes that same concept and kind of hones in a little bit more deeply, not just on his company in general, but specifically their conversation and their humor. Because humor is one of those things that's just universal to the human experience. Humor is, it's kind of a thermostat and a thermometer. It's a thermometer in the sense that it's going to reveal, it's going to tell you the temperature and where your humor is. Are you crude? Are you bawdy? All these other things. And also when you're around it, it becomes a thermostat. It kind of has the opportunity to set your spiritual tone and guide your intellect. So I think it's interesting how it takes humor, kind of dives it in a little bit deeper on that concept of how company can either corrupt or edify.
On the surface level, one would say, if you're hanging around with people who just robbed a bank or people who are committing crimes, it's pretty obvious that you're hanging around with the wrong crowd.
Right.
I think where the subtle change, and I think C.S. Lewis delved deeply into this for a reason, is because you can end up thinking, then these people I hang around, they're fun, but they're not having that big an influence on me. But before you know it, you're actually one of them. You're a member of that group.
Right.
And so I think this is where it takes it from, I think what we saw in letter 10 was that obvious, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Where this one is, yeah, but be careful you're not deceiving yourself. And there's a lot of, Screwtape talks a lot about deception in this letter. But you saw an Easter egg real early on as well.
Yeah, because I see, you know, I'll point out what I'm seeing here. I see the overall concept all throughout the letter, but he actually uses the word. He says, all these, as I find from the record office, are thoroughly reliable people, steady, consistent scoffers, talking about his friends. And scoffers, talking about people who mock things, people who make fun of things for the sake of building themselves up or cracking a joke. But it's not just a random word, it's actually a character in the book of Proverbs. Right. And I would challenge the listeners, crack open the book of Proverbs, read through it. Nice thing about Proverbs is there's 31 days in a lot of months, 31 chapters. You can read a proverb a day, gets you through the book, keeps you going with a steady diet of God's wisdom. But in the Proverbs, there's a few main characters. There's the wise man. There's the man referred to as a son. There's a wayward woman in there. And there's kind of a personification of foolishness itself, and it's the scoffer. And I want to read right in Proverbs chapter 1, kind of sets the tone and introduces this character of the scoffer that's seen all throughout the Proverbs. And it kind of sets the tone and the logical baseline for how C.S. Lewis is referring to the scoffer's mindset throughout the use of humor in this letter. Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" I think it's interesting. Nobody would hate knowledge. Nobody would be a self-admitted person that raises their hand and go, "Yes, I hate wisdom and knowledge." Everybody thinks they're smart. Everybody thinks they're pursuing knowledge. But I think the human sense of humor is something that does open up an opportunity for you to do and endorse things that you otherwise never would.
Right.
And then becoming a scoffer.
Also, when you think about groupthink and group makeups, within that group, you're going to have an alpha, somebody who's more the dominant force in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've all had these experiences, especially as men. You get around too many men and all of a sudden humor becomes bawdy. They start poking fun at things. And before you know it, you can find yourself being lulled into going with the in crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you're poking fun at someone who's handicapped.
Right. Right.
Or you're poking fun at women. It's easily done amongst men. And I think the true test of your walk with faith is whether you're willing at some point where that starts to happen, whether you step back.
Right.
Because if you're not, and C.S. Lewis talks about it in here, is which group are you really in?
Mm-hmm.
You espouse that you have this walk with Christ, but are willing to adhere to the scoffers track and stay on that track and actually start to engage. Now,
right.
Are you really walking with Christ or are you being deceived? Because what you're also doing is not deceiving yourself, but others that look at you and say, I thought he was like a really good guy. Did you hear what he just said? Now, all of a sudden, you've actually walked with Christ, but you've got a mouth of the demonic.
Right.
And now what you've done, instead of part of the Great Commission bringing people to Christ, you're actually going to push those people away because they're going to say, well, why would I need to go and be like, walk with Christ when it's just as good as we are and we don't.
Right. And it happens easy, but I think a good thing to remember is that, I think C.S. Lewis even points it out. Screwtape even seems to concede the fact that there's different types of humor, and a lot of them are very good. Some of them, as he says, promotes charity, courage, contentment, and many other evils. Because these things are obviously evil to the demonic. But there's a humor that is good and can be redeemed. But there's a humor, there's a natural inclination. To me, it's almost like gravity. It's always naturally going to go downhill and down a bad direction. and it's good to be mindful of that. And you kind of pointed out another little hint at, you know, kind of a deeper concept there, another Easter egg about the fact that we are often deceived.
Yeah. And I think when you look at situations where you do make disparaging comments, or you're in a group that starts to make those disparaging comments, that's the type of humor that ultimately is completely wrong. So the pain at, fun at somebody else's expense, at their pain, that's not a Christ-centered way to find joy through humor. Mm-hmm. Now there is humor, I think, that treads that fine line, because sometimes there's just such ironies in life that they're just funny because they are.
Right.
But it isn't like you're twisting the knife on somebody else's pain. You mentioned the deception piece, and this for me was, and if you read the book, it's about two thirds of the way into it. There's a line that says, find out what group he belongs to and see that he does not find out. And I think that's part of that deception where, again, like we were saying, you can be in that group thinking you're standing on the honorable side of the line and not being bawdy, scoffing at people, tearing down people for your own humor. And you're deceiving yourself, because that's who you are, because you're joining in, you're agreeing.
Right.
You know, and actually
the crude humor and everything else. Yeah.
And what's that great line is, silence is complicitness, right? So if you're not willing to stand up against something, your silence is complicit. In other words, you're tacitly agreeing with what's going on. That's why at that point, as Christians, you have to walk away, or voice of like, guys, no, we don't tear people down like that. That's wrong. And if they don't want you around because you said that, you've just freed yourself.
Right.
You found freedom in that. And I look for some scripture around this. And, you know, you can start in Corinthians 1, 15 through 33, which is, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So it's there in scripture, right? Bad company corrupts good character.
But I think it's interesting because that was our verse from last week, but kind of pointing out the first part of that verse, which is do not be deceived.
Yes.
And literally he's saying the point of the demonic is to make sure you don't even know what group you fall into, how you use humor, how you can be pulled off. And Bible literally warns against it. Don't be deceived. You know, bad company corrupts.
And then there's another line that, which I think even stood out more for me, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So even Satan masquerades as something good to pull you into his, because he comes as the angel of light. So it's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness.
Right.
And again, that's, I think, fallen into that idea of you always have to be aware of who's actually deceiving you in this life, not just within business, but within friendships, within groups. And it will set you up. And even you watch your children. Are the people your children hanging around with, you only have to listen for 5 minutes to get a grasp of who they are.
That really is true. That really is true. You can see, because a lot of times it's, you know, you do have to discern things, conversation, you know, you get into all types of conversations and people will crack jokes and humor in all kinds of ways, but you can always sense the spirit of the scoffer in it.
Yeah.
You can sense when something's being said just for the sake of a cheap joke, just for the sake of a quick and easy laugh, and when something is being said for the edification of a group or ultimately the edification of, you know, people at large. So I got a good one for us. You know, I'll play devil's advocate, or I guess if we're reading the Screwtape Letters, maybe I'm the angel's advocate. I'm not sure how you approach that. But you know, there's a lot of memes in the world today, and memes are pretty good. They provide cultural, social commentary on all kinds of things, but a lot of times they will poke fun at others. Sometimes, usually, you know, political things and that sort. How often do memes and things like that, especially some of the mainstream ones, this past election cycle, memes were heavily used. How often do those cross the lines? Because I have to be honest, I'm one for quite a good meme, and I've shared quite a few. But even sometimes myself, I have to stop and ask, am I sharing? Is this a you know, coarse joking, as scripture would say? Or is this an inappropriate joke?
Well, I think I've got a bit of an answer for that, because I think it's is it at an other's expense? And without being judgmental, if it's at somebody who is not a nice person, they're openly not a nice person, is that humor detrimental to your faith walk? Is it lessening you because you're mocking them? And maybe it is. But I think there's, again, some of those things that get to a fine line, especially within memes around politics, because if you're mocking a group, you're not mocking anyone individually. Like, you know, let's be honest, right? If you saw memes about the communists, the Nazis, Pol Pot, I don't think there's a place where you'd say to yourself, oh, I'm making myself feel bad because I'm mocking Nazis.
Right.
Right. So I think within that group think it is. And if you even look back on the Second World War, the British and Americans used propaganda and mocking of, you know, there's the famous mocking that really annoyed the Germans, that they spread a rumor that and I don't know how true it is, the actual rumor itself, that Himmler only had one testicle. So he was a eunuch. Right? So they had this, they mocked them in that way. which really threw them off. And I think what they were trying to do was, you know, just get into their head and get that propaganda machine working.
Well, now this conversation's taken a turn I didn't expect it to take, but I even think the prophet Elijah used humor and mockery. So again, we're talking about that my Easter egg is there's the mocker and the scoffer in Proverbs, and usually that's for tearing down. But you know, Elijah cracked a joke when, you know, he's dealing with his opponents and their God didn't seem to show up. And he says, oh, your God must still be on the toilet is essentially the joke that he makes. Right. He's laughing and mocking, and there's a prophet of God. So it is interesting. You know, you talk about mocking, you know, commies and
so and I think the difference there though, Galen, is between there's people, you know, there's groups, and then there's individuals who have no persona. You don't know whether they're good, bad. You're just taking it on face value, the way they walk, the type of haircut they've got, the way they're dressed. That sort of humor is really detrimental to your health, your spiritual health as well, because you're tearing down someone for a joke at their expense. They may be a really good person. They may have struggles. So there's no compassion in you when you make that sort of humor. But I think, again, like, and we got to be careful, but mocking groups, especially groups whose goal is evil or detrimental to the society, I think there's a fair use there.
Yeah, I think it's fair game. I also think it's fair game because it's not even attacking groups as much as attacking ideas. And that, you know, a lot of times memes are in the idea space. They're usually not attacking people. Sometimes people identify with those ideas and they might feel thrown under the bus. But, I think it's, for me, I personally think it's a fair game. I always look at a couple things myself. Number one is, overall, that humor going to be edifying? Does it help stand up for a truth or convey a truth that allows people to see it? Because the whole point of the scoffer is to mock truth and to mock wisdom. The scoffer and the mocker being kind of two characters or two names for the same character. And a lot of times, you know, talking about memes or other types of humor, it can be for our overall in a social conversation, edifying and building up and providing insight or honest critique about things. Memes are used for that in a lot of ways. But then I also look at the spirit in which it's given. Total confession, I've probably found myself sharing memes to the point where I'm just, I can't, what do you not have anything better to do but to send memes to your friends? You know, so it's like, it's also the spirit in which it's given and maybe even a little bit of a moderation piece as well. But overall, the mocker is, you know, a scorner of wisdom, a scorner of truth, and it's the heart of the demonic as well.
Yeah. And look, the defense of those scoffers and mockers is to become flippant. And so they can't be criticized, right? And there's a great line at the end of this book which says, and it's almost like the demonic talking about how they can fortify these mockers and scoffers, which is flippancy builds up the finest armor plating against God. And then there's the greatest line, 1,000 miles away from joy.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, and that's their ultimate thing. They want to pull you away from joy. They want to tear you away from Christ. They want to pull you down. Practical takeaways for this, I think, is everyone be aware of what comes out of your mouth, the memes you share, the fun you have at others' expense, and see how it changes your life. Because I think it does have a really positive effect when you actually control that side of yourself. And it's an impulse, right?
Yeah. It's a good lesson. A lot of other good stuff is in that chapter as well. Deep aspects of joy. But again, talking about kind of the scoffer and wisdom is to know thyself.
Yeah. So don't be deceived. Until next time, this is the Screwtape Letters podcast, confronting evil in our time. Look out for our book that comes out this summer. We've already got a bunch of people signed up for a free signed first edition copy. And thank you so much to everyone who's signed up for that. And you can do that at our website, screwtapeletterspodcast.com. This is the biblical Easter eggs of each letter. So we're on letter 11, and this one's all about deception and making sure that you're aware of how you use humor and such. So until next time, we'll see you again on Screwtape Letters Podcast.